We are in a multiple-part serialized conversation of some length about how do you pray, the book Celeste Iacoboni has edited and created and invited various people to contribute. And we're going to wrap it up here, at least for today. There's like I said, 129 or 126 or something like that.
129.
And we're just touching on a few of the ones that we loved. And so I'm going to go to Greg Braden, who's a mutual friend of ours, who's been on the show a number of times, and offer some really interesting insights with this. Prayer is perhaps one of the most ancient and mysterious of human experiences. It's also one of the most personal. Even before the word prayer appeared in spiritual practices, the oldest records of the Christian and Gnostic traditions use words such as communion to describe our ability to speak with the unseen forces of the universe. Prayer is unique to everyone who experiences it. Some estimate that there are as many ways to pray as there are people who do the praying. Today, modern prayer researchers have identified four broad categories that are believed to encompass all of the many ways that we pray. In no particular order, they are colloquial or informal prayers, petitionary prayers, ritualistic prayers, and meditative prayers. When we pray, the researchers suggest that we use one of these four modes or a combination. As good as these descriptions are, and as well as each of these prayers appear to work, there's always been another mode of prayer that this list does not account for. The fifth mode of prayer, the lost mode, is a prayer that's based solely on feeling rather than accompanying the sense of helplessness that often leads us to ask for assistance from a higher power. A feeling-based prayer acknowledges our ability to communicate with the intelligent force that 95% of us believe in and participate in the outcome. Without any words, without our hands held in a certain position or any outward physical expression, this mode of prayer simply invites us to feel a clear and powerful feeling as if our prayers have already been answered. Through this intangible language, we participate in the healing of our bodies, the abundance that comes to our friends and families, and the peace between nations. This is, you know, I mean, they're all great, but you know, what I have found, Celeste, is ultimately we must explore the silence outside of ego, persona, mind, thought, and the words we use to pray, and our cultural programming to explore that stark grace of the void, if I may be so Zen-like. And there, listen for or to the voice of divine intelligence for guidance in the absence of our knowing or being stuck in belief systems. Your thoughts, that there's a place to get to with the prayer, no wrongs or rights along the way. How many times can we follow our thoughts that take us out of that place that we're headed to? But I have touched in that place where there is nothing. And it can be frightening, too. It can be scary because we're so used to being something or somebody. What is it to be nobody or nothing or no thing?
I love what Greg says before the word prayer, even with the word communion. And to sit in that, when this vision came, I found myself saying yes before I knew what I was saying yes to. And I knew it was huge. It was in the stillness. And I find it's usually during the night that I wake up writing, that I wake up and there it all is. My husband, Mark, actually started sleeping in another room because I was up with a flashlight all night, up and down. And it was an incredible communion.
Yeah. And, you know, in that space along the way, because I can still speak to this now, there are sometimes early in the morning where there's some shadow stuff going on. There's the demonic forces that are trying to infiltrate into an interference and control through the ego or through this false identity or external identity of ourselves. And sometimes you need to confront that and sit through it. And as one of the writers of a book that I loved and interviewed, Lama Sultramalioni, is a book about feeding your demons. and turning them into allies. These are just voices. They're all voices that manifest. So I think your driving Mark to another room is maybe good for both of you. So I think you saved maybe one of your most closest, dearest prayers to your heart.
And do I have time for one more short one?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, I'd like to read. This is from Richard Packham, and it's the end of his long and beautiful essay, and this is the atheist prayer. Our powers are within, whatever be their name. What they have done, what's still to come, this earth can yet be heaven. Live them this day and without dread, and forgive your own trespasses as you forgive those who trespass against you. And be not led into temptation, but flee away from evil, for time is the healer with power to restore me forever and ever. Amen.
Now that is a rewrite of a biblical passage. Is that what that's from? A prayer in the Bible? It sounds familiar.
Yes, it's the Our Father.
It's the Lord's Prayer.
Exactly.
Changed to an atheistic view.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what is an atheist anyway? I'm not quite sure. Doesn't believe in a personalized God?
Exactly. But reading, there are two proclaimed atheists in the book. They are so prayerful. Uh-huh. I mean, so beautiful. There really is no separation here.
Yeah. Well, I like to say to people at times, you know, when that comes up, and, you know, it's like we read in the very beginning from Mirabai Starr, that there are so many ways and times that we fire this so-called God because it has not responded to our prayers. And if you missed that, go back to that part of the conversation. But the undeniable fact is, and I will say this to Millie and you and I here in the studio, is we do not run this body. We're not circulating our blood and saying, oh, let's cut it down to this finger. I want more flow to my heart. I want, you know, more flow to my first chakra. I got survival things going on. My sexuality is coming up. I need more blood there. It just happens. It's part of an intelligence that is the field that we're in. And you can't deny that.
That spins the planets.
Yeah. You can't deny that intelligence.
Right.
And
yes.
Do you influence it? Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. You know, my mom is here, and I am so grateful. She gave me the freedom. When I was very young, she told me, you can pray in that church, but you don't need that church to pray. And she really allowed me to walk in and out while I discovered my own relationship to what is sacred.
Yeah. I'm going to break before you read that because we're going to do another segment here because I think I have time on my disc. But I just, you know, there's that expression, honor thy father and thy mother. And, you know, we personalize that too. And we're grateful because we're born to these parents. But it's an infinite chain of evolution that's going on. And how far back can we go? I remember Deepak Chopra saying, your atoms and molecules are recirculating around, and when did they start? You know, we are made of all that's gone before us, too, because it is a closed ecosystem.
We are the stuff of the stars.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I just wanted to take another break here and save the that reading of Millie Iacoboni. And I have something I want to close with, too. So we shall return in this multiple-part, epic, serialized conversation with Celeste Iacoboni.